WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Republican senators have passed a massive tax and spending bill aimed at meeting the Trump administration's fiscal priorities. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns has more.
The bill's passage in the Senate is really just one hurdle. Before it can even get to the president's desk, it first has to go through the House. And some key Republicans over there say that they're opposed to it at this point.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says it's his goal to get the bill to the finish line.
We knew we would come to this moment. We knew the Senate would amend the House product. I encouraged them to amend it as lightly as possible. They went a little further than many of us would have preferred.
The House plans to vote on the Senate passed version as soon as tomorrow morning. The jury in Sean Diddy Combs' sex trafficking trial says it has reached a verdict on 4 of the 5 felony counts, but was unable to reach a decision on the top charge, racketeering conspiracy. CBS's Katrina Kaufman was there.
When we got the note from the jury, there was this tense atmosphere. Sean Combs was sitting very still. His attorneys were all standing around him talking. He had his hands together, almost in prayer. And then outside, there was a thunderstorm happening. So there were these ominous claps of thunder going on. And meanwhile, the prosecution was just sitting at their table, not discussing anything at all.
Deliberations will resume tomorrow. Combs has pleaded not guilty. Over 9,000 city employees in Philadelphia, including sanitation workers, are now on strike after the breakdown of contract negotiations, largely over wages. Mayor Sherelle Parker has accused the union of what she calls vandalism, saying they've blocked city facilities and more.
Give us some of your patience and please work with us as we do our very best to ensure that we provide these services.
President Trump says Israel has agreed to a 60-day ceasefire in Gaza. More from CBS's Christopher Cruz.
On social media, the president wrote, "I hope for the good of the Middle East that Hamas takes this deal because it will not get better. It will only get worse." But Trump has repeatedly issued dramatic ultimatums to try to get Hamas to agree to a ceasefire. Hamas may see this latest warning as just another threat Trump won't make good on.
England and Barcelona have recorded record heat for June, and it's lingering. UN climate spokesperson Claire Nullis warns that everyone in Europe is at risk from the extreme heat.
If you go out without water in the middle of the day to do jogging, have a bike ride, you will probably have severe health problems or even die.
This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. We offer auto, home, and commercial auto insurance, plus a variety of business insurance options. Visit progressive.com today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Big changes for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks making some record moves in free agency. They waived Damian Lillard, who suffered that torn Achilles tendon. Lillard, who turns 35 later this month, will be paid $22.5 million over the next 5 years in dead money by the Bucks owners. GM John Horst then making a deal to acquire Indiana Pacers center Miles Turner, a 4-year deal worth $107 million. Turner is 29 years old. He'll replace 37-year-old Brooke Lopez, who will sign a 2-year contract with the LA Clippers. To get under the salary cap, the Bucks had to trade guard Pat Connaughton and 2 future second-round picks to the Charlotte Hornets in exchange for Vasilije Micic, a 31-year-old guard from Serbia. And Milwaukee will also sign 11-year veteran guard Gary Harris of the Orlando Magic. Again, Damian Lillard, no longer with the Bucks. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets rained out tonight in New York. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. For the overnight, mostly clear skies accompanied by a light breeze. Morning low temperatures will start off in the lower 60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. There will be a few afternoon showers and storms with highs in the middle 80s. It's 69 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Madison-based filmmaker Wendy Schneider, who will discuss her screening of the Smart Studio Story at the Atwood Music Hall. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. We live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got some baseball action coming up later on today. Our broadcast starts at 5:35. The Brewers at the Mets tonight. You can listen on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and our newest Milwaukee Brewers affiliate, WBZH in Hayward. The Mets hosting the Crew. Our broadcast starts at 5:35. Delighted to be joined by our next guest. He is the president for Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Dean Muller is here. Good morning, Dean. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Well, thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
Glad to have you here. You sent me an email after you heard our discussion with PJ Leash. We were talking about ticks and the growing tick problem here in Wisconsin, and this is tied into climate change, and the warmer conditions are allowing bugs that would not normally thrive here to do really well as the climate continues to warm. So we wanted to talk about a number of different things related to the climate. Let's talk about the extreme weather that we've been seeing, Dean. The fires, right. The flooding, yeah. This is the new normal, I guess.
Right. I guess the operative word is more. We're going to have more of these types of events, more warming conditions. 2024 was the warmest ever. And of course, 2025 is on track to be even warmer than that. Go back to February of last year, we had the first tornado ever occurring in that month. Other economic things that are happening, homeowners insurance, double-digit increases in that. And of course, you have to remember that things that happen in Florida or California or wherever in the world, it affects our insurance rates here. And of course, that's certainly some of the things that we're looking at here. I personally like snow, and we just certainly haven't had enough of that, that's for sure. So, the ice, Lake Michigan, certainly far from, I mean, actually the lowest ever from what I've been told in terms of ice cover on Lake Michigan, which is, that's where we get our refrigerator effect, right?
Yeah.
When we live next to the lake. So, yeah, it's all adding up, that's for sure. And it's we can see, feel, and touch it. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm. And there's definitely, there's an environmental discussion to have, but there's also an economic discussion. Two winters ago, it was so bad up north with the lack of snow and ice that Senator Baldwin and Governor Evers had to put together, I think it was $50 million in packages of aid to businesses that were affected by the lack of winter that we got. So it's also, when we want to spin that conversation, we also have to talk about the economic impact it has on businesses and people here in the state.
Right, exactly. And I appreciate the opportunity to discuss it in this manner in more of a complete fashion, because, you know, we watch the local weather. And of course, I realize the weather people are maybe a little bit limited in terms of what they can tell us, but they can talk about this extreme conditions. But on the regular news, they talk about the fact that it is caused by climate change. Well, then, you know, the rest of the conversation is what causes climate change. And of course, that's the conversation that we're certainly trying to promote as an organization, so people have a greater awareness of, you know, connecting the dots, if you will, that ultimately it leads to the amount of CO2 we're putting in the environment. And that's caused by our burning of fossil fuel. That's the message we want to get out there and repeat it over and over and over again, so people understand that and start to take some action.
You know what, Dean, though, and I've run into this within my own family, trying to talk to some family members about climate change. And one of my in-laws essentially said, yeah, you know, I've been talking about this with my buddy, and he doesn't think it's real. So I kind of agree with him. What do I come back with then to that?
I think the thing that I have come upon is that I believe the scientists, and the particular scientists that I really believe in, are the fossil fuel scientists that made this determination back in the 70s. By name, James Black, Harry Shaw, Ed Garvey were people that headed up the department at Exxon that was their scientific department, and their mission was to look at the impact of their product on the environment. And they came back with an answer, and the answer is what we're seeing today. And they were astonishingly accurate in terms of the modeling they did because of that work. And of course, you know, the industry was kind of at a crossroads then. I mean, they had developed even a solar department. So they were thinking about, you know, big ideas, et cetera, in terms of the next direction for their company. But in the end, they packed it all in.
Yep.
It just said, no, this is really bad for business. I mean, if you're talking about businesses that have my background is a lot of it is in business and investing and so forth. So if you can create a business model where you have repeat business, you know, like cigarettes, like, you know, you need for fossil fuel. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it's logical that you want to go with that path because you get a lot of repeat business.
Right.
And That's the model and the road they went down. And the process they went through then is basically to discredit or deny that those types of things were happening. And, of course, that's the ultimate thing that we're working towards, is to have accountability from the fossil fuel industry. Now, let's look at this maybe almost in a humorous fashion. We could ask them to pay for the remediation. And of course, I think the last time we spoke, I talked about the $16 billion study that we commissioned that was released last year, which was just remediation for the state of Wisconsin. We can talk about that in more detail. But of course, you know, it would be nice if we asked them and they said, yeah, we'll pay our fair share.
Oh, yeah.
It shouldn't be all on the taxpayers. But I think the only way we're going to get, you know, an answer out of them is in a court of law. That's the sad reality. So that's the mission, or the, we have to ask in a state, in a court of law, to have any type of result with this. So.
We have a comment on the live stream who says CO2 was proven to increase heat in the 1800s. This is long proven and established science.
And to go with what you're saying, Jane, when someone says that notion of, well, I heard it on a podcast or my friend said this, I said, OK, great. What are their qualifications for saying what they said? Because what I personally feel like is whenever you try to encroach on someone's convenience, that's when they'll go the other way, when they say, oh, well, fossil fuels do this, but I like my car. And I listened to a podcast where they said cars are great. I feel like if you have to challenge people's convenience to get them to stand up and say, yeah, you're right.
And of course, you know, we're not trying to bite the hand that feeds us. I mean, because obviously fossil fuel and the access to fossil fuel has given us a wonderful lifestyle. There's no question about that. But it's time to go in a new or different direction. And when in this country have we ever stood in the way of new technology?
Yeah.
We've always embraced it, encouraged it, and we've even subsidized it. And of course, I noticed in the previous segment you were talking about the budgets and so forth. Well, we currently, I think it's $750 billion is a subsidy that the fossil fuel industry enjoys. So, I mean, they could back off on that and help balance budgets and so forth, but they haven't. They have a lot of lobbyists that make sure that stays in place. So it's yeah, a new direction in you know, we don't make buggy whips anymore. And why? Because we don't have horses for transportation anymore.
I mean, things change.
Things change. Exactly. I mean, you know, we didn't have, you know, we didn't go back to a time when you, if you're going to make a phone call out, out and about, you need to have quarters in your pocket looking for a phone booth. Well, that's, you know, those days are long gone. So, yeah.
If you're just joining us, Dean Muller is our guest. He's the president of Wisconsin for Environmental Justice, just talking about environmental concerns. It's all tied into all of our budgets, not just the state budget, but certainly the federal budget. You were talking, Dean, about, you know, these energy companies. They want, from what I have seen, at least some of them want to get into solar. They would like to get into other kinds of renewables, and yet they're not getting any kind of support from the Trump administration.
Yeah, this is true. This is certainly a sad fact. And of course, we, you know, I'm just baffled. I don't know what to say. You know, I do know what to say, I guess, from the standpoint that it's a, it is new technology, and we certainly don't want to stand in the way of that. I do know that, you know, certain industries, Wall Street is certainly embracing it as opportunities for investment as far as mitigation is concerned, as far as new technologies are concerned, whether solar, wind, or whatever it might be, geothermal, the list goes on and on of investment opportunities. And those things are still going on. I mean, industries are not backing away from their commitment to doing this, because there is money to be made.
Right.
There is opportunities to capitalize on. The insurance industry obviously has figured out risk very well, because that's what they're in the business of doing. And if they didn't do it, they'd be out of business. They wouldn't be able to show anything on the bottom line. So I think in the face of the pushback that is coming out of DC, which is certainly unfortunate, I think, you know, the trend still goes on to more green energy and more green opportunities. That's for sure.
Well, and to get back to the economics of it all, you know, we see a push from the administration to bring manufacturing back to America, and then in some instances they give, it's next to impossible to make the things they want to make here. But we could create manufacturing in this country, creating jobs in the sustainable energy field. Places where they are manufacturing solar panels, places where they are more EVs available. Like, there are opportunities to create those industries, those jobs, and grow the economy.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more, and I couldn't agree more. And when we, in our organization, you know, one of the things that we're emphasizing, we released the cost study, which was said that $16 billion would be the impact on the state of Wisconsin. Which is really a low ball number. It was designed to raise awareness, and we recognize that 70% of that $16 billion will fall on city and county governments. Now, just think about that for a minute and the impact that that has. And of course, we all know that cities and county governments are struggling mightily to balance their budget.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when you look at some of the numbers in relationship to the budgets of these individual counties and cities, irregardless of their size, it's a big impact. It's sometimes it's one for one in terms of their city or county budgets, in terms of what the cost of remediation specifically to that particular county or city, because the cost study goes down to each individual county, city, village, whatever. And that's the point that we're at, is talking to elected officials and taxpayers in those jurisdictions to make that point that they need to take this action. They need to begin the litigation at that level. It's not, we're not talking about the next COP conference,
right,
or what we can do. You know, this is litigation pure and simple. Is what we're pushing for.
We Absolutely. Are talking to Dean Muller. He's the president of Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Dean, we're coming up against a break that we'll get to in just a little bit. We're going to talk about cities' infrastructure. I live in the city of Milwaukee. The roads have been a long, long standing issue in the city of Milwaukee. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in order to make repairs on that. How is climate all tied in with our infrastructure? We'll continue this conversation on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
She gives me. And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm as Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Dean Muller, the president of Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Dean, before we went to the break, talked a little bit just about the climate and the change in climate, and it has massive impacts on cities and towns, even little towns, their infrastructure. It affects the roads. It affects everything, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And you alluded to the streets of the city of Milwaukee, which are a little rough these days.
They are. Yes.
And there was, I think, a recent story that I came across. I think it's $821 million is what it would take to fix them all up.
Yep.
So three-quarters of a $1 billion. Absolutely. So it would certainly cost a lot of money to repair those. And of course, we have a major project going on with the Three Rivers that in the harbor here in Milwaukee, which is a $500 million project where they're going to take out all of the, the remediation project would remove the PCBs that are in the Three Rivers, Menominee, KK, and the Milwaukee Rivers, contain it down near a deposit site down, you know, underneath the home bridge. And, you know, that's largely paid by taxpayers. And of course, the industries that use those rivers as an open sewer are long gone.
Yeah.
And they're not going to pay for any of it. And, you know, and I can also make the point that the Wolf River is a different story. That was the paper industries. But in a court of law, they were made to pay. And that was a $1 billion cleanup project. So
that must have been a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. And it's certainly an issue of fairness. There's no question about that. I think we share a common bond with elected officials as taxpayers. Our budgets are strapped, and so are theirs. So if we can come up with some alternate sources of revenue, like what we did during COVID, which was a big success for the country and the state of Wisconsin in terms of the money that was pumped into this state, and really helped to stimulate and get our economy back rolling again, actually ahead of many other countries around the world. And then we, look at other sources of revenue during the opioid litigation, which was three-quarters of a $1 billion paid out over 15 years to deal with a problem that, affects pretty much every community in the state. That's extra revenue. That's, manna from heaven, right? We don't have to ask the taxpayers to pay for it. So, and ask the guilty party, in that case, the pharmaceutical companies, to pay for it.
Right.
So it's, and, we're having these conversations with all sizes of cities and counties across the state. And, and it's just a question of getting this message out there that they can file a litigation, a suit. It doesn't cost them anything to do it. They're going to be handled by attorneys on a contingency basis. And, why not? Why not? I think it's a fiduciarily a responsible thing for them to do as elected officials, in my opinion.
Well, and it just must make your head explode when we were talking about the federal budget that they're kicking around. There was something dropped in there again where they're going to give subsidies to coal, but they are going to tax wind and solar, which is just, what?
Sounds right, though. It sounds right. It's on brand.
It is on brand, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I made a statement there I thought that made a lot of sense. But then, of course, I was once reminded by someone that, be careful, Dean, when you make too much sense.
But when we were talking about renewables, Dean, if we do not invest in green energy, aren't we kind of ceding any kind of leadership role that we had to other countries to do this? Because just because we're not going to invest in it doesn't mean that other countries are going to invest in it.
Oh, yeah. It is a geopolitical issue. There's no question about that. China is certainly a leader in this. And actually, Europe is second, and we're trailing behind in third place. It's really the way it shakes out right now in terms of the progression towards this technology. And that does have major geopolitical implications for us. I don't think I need to spell those out. But I mean, it is what it is. There's no question about that. I mean, and yeah, it is. It is a real challenge. And something that we need to address and get moving on, and we need money to do that. We need money to do that. It's a costly area in terms of expenses. So
we need money, and we need partnership and compromise. We need leaders to finally say, like, look, we can't be beholden to these lobbyists and these companies. For we have to make a decision and move forward just to, save ourselves a little
bit.
Stay
competitive.
Yeah, but as long as they keep spinning the narrative that it isn't as bad as we think, and we can't live without fossil fuels, it's impossible to do without, then we're going to be sitting here having this conversation all the time.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. I couldn't agree more. And I think that, the moving the dial on this is going to be, require some, how do I want to say it? Some thought on a part of elected officials, again, at the local level, since they bear the heaviest burden as far right. as mitigation is concerned. And they have some real challenges and some real problems. And of course, I realize that sometimes, maybe, let's be honest, all the times, that futuristic long-term view is something that is difficult for us to, even as individuals or as forms of government, to take in terms of what it's going to look like 5 and 10 years out down the road. And this has been a slow, steady moving train wreck. And every day it gets a little more obvious in terms of what we're seeing.
Dean Muller is the president of Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Thank you so very much, Dean.
Thank you, Dean,
for taking some time out for us. We will absolutely have you back on the show. We got news coming up next. And then when we return, audio sorbet, we're talking ice cream.
All right.
What's the worst? This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. With Senate passage of the Republican tax and spending bill, attention now focuses on the House. Speaker Mike Johnson.
The plan is to put it on the floor. We've got a lot of members flying into town. Some went home for the weekend because we didn't know what the Senate schedule would be and what it would yield. They're on the way back. Of course, we have weather delays all around the country, so there's lots of complications, but welcome to Congress.
The jury in Sean Diddy Combs' trial reached a verdict on 4 of 5 felony counts, but has not reached a decision on the top charge, racketeering conspiracy. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
When we finally found out what this was about, that the jury had decided 4 of the counts against Sean Combs, his attorney really pushed for them to keep deliberating. They want these jurors to take more time.
In Philadelphia, striking city workers wave signs at traffic near Philadelphia City Hall and form picket lines as nearly 10,000 workers walked off the job today over wages. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Big changes for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks making some record moves in free agency. They waived Damian Lillard, who suffered that torn Achilles tendon. Lillard, who turns 35 later this month, will be paid $22.5 million over the next 5 years in dead money by the Bucks owners. GM John Horst then making a deal to acquire Indiana Pacers center Miles Turner, a 4-year deal worth $107 million. Turner is 29 years old. He'll replace 37-year-old Brooke Lopez, who will sign a 2-year contract with the LA Clippers. To get under the salary cap, the Bucks had to trade guard Pat Connaughton and 2 future second-round picks to the Charlotte Hornets in exchange for Vasilije Micić, a 31-year-old guard from Serbia. And Milwaukee will also sign 11-year veteran guard Gary Harris of the Orlando Magic. Again, Damian Lillard, no longer with the Bucks. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets rained out tonight in New York. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sure, Dana Carvey is a great impressionist, but still prefers to be tactful, especially when impersonating President Joe Biden like he did during the SNL 50th anniversary broadcast. The creator of The Church Lady said to his co-host on the Fly on the Wall podcast, David Spade, that he took that approach because the former president was mentally compromised. Spade countered, saying Biden is fair game because he's in the public eye, putting himself on the total opposite end of the spectrum. That's why they make a great podcast hosting team. If you're looking for something binge-worthy, here's one of Pete's picks. Check out Department Q on Netflix. Writer, director, executive producer Scott Frank has come a long way as a writer since his first credit, which was an episode of The Wonder Years. Frank has written such films as Get Shorty, Minority Report, and the show The Queen's Gambit. Department Q follows Carl, a detective who becomes obsessed with a cold case following his own near-death experience. It's just addicting enough, so check it out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for the overnight. Mostly clear skies accompanied by a light breeze. Morning low temperatures will start off in the lower 60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. There will be a few afternoon showers and storms with highs in the middle 80s. Currently 71 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen will join us to discuss breaking news as it continues on the state budget and in Washington. Plus, what's worse? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at the very end of the show, we wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the You Dirty Rat edition.
Even better this time.
Oh, thank you. I'm practicing.
Yeah.
Trying to make that a little bit better. Yep, that's coming up in just a little bit. Wanted to let you know, though, we are going out on the road. It's officially official.
We can officially talk about the official announcement to the official road trip.
Yes.
Of Jane and Todd.
Matinair on
and
air.
And Greg.
And Greg, Matinair on air. And the Todd Halba Show hitting the road in just a couple of weeks. We will be broadcasting from Oshkosh, from Butternut.
Can't believe a dream come true.
So excited. And Hayward on July 16th, 17th, and 18th.
We're going to be packing in a lot those 3 days.
We are going to be doing a lot those 3 days.
We're going to have a lot of fun. I just have one question for you, though, Jane. As we all know, last year, Amory,
yes,
was your favorite place you had never been to.
Correct.
And then you went there with Todd.
Yeah.
You loved it.
Loved it.
This year, Butternut, has taken that mantle.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, you know, will you be immediately looking for a new favorite place you've never been to once Butternut is officially
on the list? Sure. Always looking.
I can't wait.
Always looking. But that's one of the things we love about doing this show is learning about Wisconsin.
Absolutely. This show has made me so proud to be from Wisconsin. Right?
We have wonderful, wonderful things here.
Agreed.
So we're going to be doing EAA Air Venture. We'll have a little preview of that. We're going to talk upcoming Packers training camp.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the history of small towns in Wisconsin, specific to Butternut. And then Lumberjack, baby. Lumberjacks and powwows, because that's going on as well around the Hayward area the week that we're up there.
Just found out that there's a tribal powwow happening,
cool.
And I'm very excited about that. So hopefully we'll be able to get someone from the powwow to be on the show to talk about it, because that's another aspect of this state that's wonderful, is their wonderful indigenous tradition.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it, and I'm going to be eating probably really horribly, which is going to be tough. Well, you know, I've been eating better and better lately, trying to take care of myself. But I'm sure there will be something of salted nature, of cheese nature.
Oh, I think so.
Cheesecake nature.
Oh, sure. So, might be pizza involved as well. special road trip edition, Matinair on Air, and the Todd Halba program hitting the road in a couple of weeks on July 16th, 17th, and 18th. We will have more details for you as they become available. All right. Right now, it is time. This is a portion of the program we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to get away from the news and just take a breath to get reoriented and maybe have a couple laughs. Here is today's question.
Yes.
What is the worst ice cream? What is your least favorite ice cream? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. The worst ice cream. That is our audio sorbet question for today. 855-752-4842. The worst ice cream. What would be your nominee? Dan from Wausau texted this in really early, listening on WAUK, sweet corn flavored ice cream. I had it last summer in Minocqua. It was unexpectedly awful.
Well, okay, so I feel like we need to throw down something really quick here, and that is, yes, sweet corn ice cream, probably terrible. I'm looking at some of the I'm looking at the world's worst ice cream flavors, and we're getting a lot of those savory experimental. So like octopus, squid, ox tongue.
No,
we're talking about. Do you just hate Rocky Road like that?
Exactly.
Let's keep it traditional. Keep
it a little more simple.
Lobster ice cream is. Ugh.
Yeah, no. We have an unexpected phone call at 855-752-4842. Delighted she made time for us. State Senator Kel DeRoys is on the line. Good morning, Senator. Thank you for joining us. How are things in Madison this morning?
Good morning. It's a wild ride in Madison as we finish up the work on the state budget in the Joint Finance Committee. And Republicans just voted down our Democratic motion. And the last one of the budget cycle. So they're obviously committed to shortchanging our kids, our health care, our transit, and other critical things that matter.
So where does this leave us now?
Well, the governor and the Senate Democratic leader have negotiated with legislative Republicans to make their terrible budget slightly less bad. And so that is, you know, moving in the right direction. It looks like we are going to be on the floor this week. So even though we did miss the statutory deadline of June 30th to pass a new budget, it looks like we will have a state budget moving forward, albeit one that really just lets our state limp along for the next 2 years until hopefully Democrats are in the majority and can pass a budget that actually prioritizes our kids, public education, and the needs of folks all around the state.
We are joined on the phone by State Senator Kel DeRoys, and we are talking about the state of the Wisconsin state budget. So, Senator Roys, at this point, we're not going back to just the last budget. There will be a new budget?
There will be a new budget, yes, and Republicans are continuing their mantra of tax cuts above everything else. You know, our schools will see a very slight increase in the reimbursement for special education, but nothing compared to what advocates and educators from around the state have said was needed.
Right.
The child care accounts program that had kept thousands of child care providers in business, that program is ending, but there will be a small amount of money that's made available to help kind of cushion that loss over the next year. Some kind of transition funds to help hopefully again bridge until 2 years from now, when my hope is that I will be helping to write the state budget rather than just having to vote no on what the Republicans do.
So we were all excited when we came on the air this morning, Senator Roys, thinking, wow, look at this. We actually, both sides have kind of come together and agree on some things, and that really is not the case.
Well, you know, I mean, I think there is a value in reducing the harm of this budget, right? School districts having a little bit more money is better than having no money or
right.
a cut, right? Same for the universities of Wisconsin. Republicans were eager to do an $87 million cut at a time when we have a $4 billion surplus and a huge workforce shortage. Right now, it looks like we're going to have a very small increase to the universities, which is much needed after 15 years of flat or devastating cuts in their budgets. So, you know, it's not nothing. It's not nothing, but it definitely falls very short of what we heard from Wisconsinites at all of our public hearings that they really wanted to see in the budget.
Senator, one of the things, we had Pat Kreitlow on the show earlier. He talked about the child care aspect of this, and that is only funding for 1 year. And I want to make sure I heard that correctly. If it's only 1 year, what happens after these? What happens when we go into year two of the budget? Is it just cut, or do you have to go back to the table for more negotiations?
Well, I would anticipate, just given the horrific cuts that are likely to come out of the federal budget process, that what the Republicans are doing in Washington, that we are going to have to do a budget repair bill. And so I'm sure this will be an ongoing topic. But there are also some, you know, the Republicans want to deregulate child care. They want to raise the ratios. They want to, you know, use child labor to solve the child care crisis.
Right, yeah.
They
right.
have a bunch of policy items that I think they want to use to kind of hold it over our heads to try to extract these policy changes that they know the governor would otherwise veto.
State Senator Kel DeRoys is joining us on the phone. We are talking about the status of the Wisconsin state budget. And talking about what's going to happen, what's going to get cut. We were talking about the investment in children and especially special education. And I think it's important, Senator Royce, that people understand we fund private schools 90% for their special ed children.
Absolutely right.
Right? And 90%.
Remember, right. And those schools can discriminate against you, right?
Right.
They can say, we don't want this kid and kick him out. And public schools, of course, can't do that.
Right.
Our schools are obligated to teach every child, and that's as it should be, because every child deserves the chance to learn and the opportunity to thrive.
I guess I'm curious, Senator Royce, what their justification is for funding it so completely for private schools and yet not doing the same for public schools.
Well, the justification that some have been very open about on the right is that they don't believe in public schools and they don't think public schools should exist. They would like to completely privatize education. And they view this as an important way to weaken public education and shovel money into these unaccountable voucher schemes that do not answer to taxpayers. And they, are exempt from so many of the safety measures and protections that govern public schools.
And that's something else I have never understood. I don't understand why private institutions do not have some kind of body to which they have to report. That I find that mind-blowing.
Well, it's like if you want public funds, you should have to follow the rules.
Right.
To me, that seems like a bare minimum safeguard that you'd want to have. And Republicans are constantly talking about how important fiscal responsibility is. But when it comes to making decisions, they're the most irresponsible bunch out there. I mean, they're willing to just basically write blank checks to these unaccountable voucher schools. And, we've seen some terrible abuses from some of these. We've seen corruption. We've seen fly-by-night operations shutting down and, taking all the students' data so that if you graduated from one of these places, you can't even get a diploma. So there's all kinds of risks that this poses to kids that frankly deserve much better.
At a point you made before about the discrimination of students, as far as those schools go, I just want to make a point too for the listeners that they can discriminate against those students, but also then keep the money they have gotten. They can accept the kid, take the money and say, well, you don't fall into this point of our handbook, so we can get rid of you and we get to keep your money. And that is just it, period. And
That's right.
Oh, go ahead.
They keep the kid for a few weeks and then they kick him out, but they keep the money for the rest of the period.
Yeah. And that is tax funded
money.
So it's not like,
right.
I feel like a lot of people don't always get their brains around voucher money. It is a stream of money that is funded by us, the taxpayers. It is two school systems that we pay for, essentially, and the ones that
That's
are private right. have no standards.
Yeah, it sure seems like we're a whole lot better to our private schools than we are to our public schools.
There's no question. And keep in mind that money is coming out of your local school district's budget.
Yeah.
So your kid's school is losing money because the school district has to write a check. And this was sold as a program to help low-income students. But the reality is that it has turned out that the vast majority of the money that's going around the state to these voucher schemes are to kids who have never set foot in a public school.
In a public school. Yep. They're already private school attendees.
Wealthy families.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for making time for us. State Senator Kelda Royce has joined us on the phone. Really appreciate it, Senator. I know you're busy and I know you got to go. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks for your time. Good to see you.
Stay with us. We're going to wrap things up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing on the other side. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin.
purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is what I love, Madison. There's so many weird things. Bennett's Meadowwood Country Club, which is a bar and not a country club, they have an event called Smut and Eggs. You show up for eggs and you watch a porn film while you eat breakfast. I have trouble watching a PG-13 movie when I eat breakfast. It's more of a dinner thing, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice group orgy and some pasta.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball coming up later on today, 5:35. Our broadcast starts as the Brewers head out east, and they are hosted by the Mets. Catch the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. The Brewers at the Mets tonight. Our broadcast starts at 5:35. Our thanks to Senator Kelda Royce, who joined us. Carved out a little time for us. She's busy in Madison. There's a lot of things going on with that. So she kind of jumped into our audio sorbet. We're really grateful that she did. But we will do today's audio sorbet tomorrow because we did get some responses.
We did.
The question was, what's the worst ice cream?
Yeah. What is the worst ice cream?
What is the worst?
We did also get a great recommendation for our trip from Sarah in Green Bay.
Oh,
she
good.
Said, if you're going to Hayward for a powwow, have some fry bread and or an Indian taco.
Oh, I've heard of fried bread.
That will be on the list.
That sounds really yummy. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are going on the road in a couple of weeks along with the Todd Alba Show, July 16th, 17th, and 18th. I had to think for a second.
Yes.
And we will have more details. Hopefully, if you're, we're going to be at Oshkosh, we're going to be in Butternut, and we're going to be in Hayward.
Yeah.
So if you are in or around those communities, hopefully you'll be able to come out and say hi.
Send us recommendations on restaurants and coffee
good
shops
foods.
And like little museums, whatever. We want to, you know, when we're not on the air, we want to check out the wares.
Yeah, absolutely. So send us hints.
Yes.
We would love to know. You can always contact us at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Getting late, just about 10:55, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Oh, and this is quite something. This is from Vice. Ashley Fike with the byline. The headline reads... Meet the rat-obsessed tour guide leading visitors through New York City's rodent hotspots.
Gross.
Susan Reisman, the self-proclaimed rat whisperer, leads a tour in Manhattan called Garbage and Rats for $40 a ticket. $40 a ticket.
All right.
People follow her through the underbelly of New York City, learning about rodent sex habits up to 20 times a day, rat history, and how dog poop functions as an urban snack bar for rats. She wears fuzzy rat ears on her head and treats the two-hour tour like a cross between a field trip and an urban wildlife safari.
I'm sorry. Did you just say 2 hours?
2 hours for $40.
I don't want this hate so much. Disgusting. No, thank you.
It's working for her.
Yeah, apparently, because no, total judgment. I hate this.
Suzanne says that guests are introduced to the Norway rat. They're actually from Asia. They showed up on some ships in the 1700s and never left. They took a look around and thought, jackpot, baby, we're staying. At one stop, a dachshund-sized rat ran out of the bushes. People reacted like bird watchers spotting a rare hawk.
So are they ratters?
They're ratters. She is actually a graduate of New York City's Rat Academy.
No!
I'm just reading the article. And a member of the Rat Pack, a group of anti-rat activists trained by the New York City Sanitation Department.
Wait. She's a part of an anti-rat. Okay. All right. She's part of an anti-rat group.
No.
But she makes her money off of showing people rats.
Essentially.
This is hypocrisy of the highest order, Jane. And I will not stand for it. I want my $40, which I have not spent on this, back. And somehow give me 2 hours of my life also, because this is the height of ridiculous.
Susan Reisman, who heads the Garbage and Rats walking tour in Manhattan, says her tours regularly sell out. Some people are just curious. Others are nostalgic for a grittier version of New York. When I lived in New York, we saw live rats all the time. We saw a pancake rat. It was a very New York experience.
You want a New York experience? Give me $40 and I'll rob you in Times Square. You want that? I'll do that for you. It's easy.
Reisman says she hopes the city's garbage problem will get better. That will help with the rat population. If we cut down access to their food, that would help significantly. The city never sleeps, and neither do its rats.
I am very upset we talked about this today.
That wraps up today's edition of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
You can always send yours in to janesays@civicmedia.us.
So disgusting.
Coming up tomorrow, the first Wednesday of July. So our friend Darren Von Ruden is going to be here. He is a farmer here in Wisconsin. Also, Friday is the 4th of July. We're going to be running a specially curated show. So Dan Schaefer will join us tomorrow to do some recombobulating instead of this coming Friday.
I'm sure we'll be talking about the budget and Bucks news. It's been coming through all morning.
Absolutely. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman. on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. In its second day of deliberations, the jury in the sex trafficking and racketeering trial of Sean Diddy Combs reported mixed progress, agreement on four charges, but stuck on the top charge, racketeering conspiracy. CBS News legal reporter Katrina Kaufman.
The count they're stuck on, the RICO conspiracy charge, is the most complicated. It's the most layered. There are many elements to it. They have to believe that there were two underlying predicate crimes that were committed. Although perhaps the biggest sticking point here might be whether there was an agreement to form this enterprise, whether Combs knowingly and willfully conspired with at least one other person.
The judge told the jury to continue working toward a verdict. Republican senators have passed by one vote the massive tax and spending bill wanted by President Trump. Congressional correspondent Nicole Killian reports it came down to convincing an Alaska senator